What Jan didn't say is that also engraved inside the ring is the date, which says forgetfulness or awkward reminders later on as well. If you have a Bible with you, would you turn with me please to Psalm 46? Psalm 46. Returning to that, just want to say thank you very much for your fellowship with us and the work of the gospel and your kindness to us, your support for us and all that we do with the faith mission and here in West Cork. We do very much appreciate your friendship and fellowship with us in this. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fail. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. The Psalms are lovely, aren't they? You find in them every sort of expression of emotion or the situations we face in life, something to lift our focus onto God, to praise him for who he is, times to cry out, times when we're in trouble, when we're in pain and in difficulty. And there's some Psalms that we know, maybe you have a favourite Psalm, Psalm 23, Psalm 1, or Psalm 100, or this one here. And there's many of them. And they are lovely words. But as in a lot of Hebrew poetry, they start with a summary and with a conclusion of what the thing is about, which is actually quite useful. Usually we might read through a whole pile of stuff and then there's a summary sentence at the end. But they usually start with that. And so that's how this starts. God is our refuge and strength. That's who this psalm is about. And what God can be to us. We know what a refuge is. I remember when younger, playing the game of tag. Maybe you remember playing this too, chasing people and tagging them and they're on. Well, every now and again when you were playing it, people would suddenly come up with, well, this is den, you can't get me now. Usually when they're about to be caught, when they'd run out of energy and couldn't run any further, this is den, you can't get me. It's a place of safety. In the hope that they couldn't be caught, they couldn't be got. Or maybe you've seen a shower of rain and you want to wait in shelter until it's passed by. We know a place of refuge, a place of security, a place of safety from whatever is outside. But this picture of a refuge is there throughout Scripture. We can see it in the time of Noah. The ark was a place of refuge from the judgment of God. It was God's provision for people. And Noah preached to the unbelieving world an invitation that they should come into the ark, come into the place of refuge, the place of safety from the judgment and from the flood. Sadly, many didn't respond to this and were outside of the refuge that God had provided. We see this also in in the plagues that were sent on Egypt, the last of the plagues, the Passover. The angel of death was going to come and all the firstborn in each house was going to die. But God provided a refuge, a way of escape. And that was that the innocent lamb, the Passover lamb, was sacrificed. But that the blood was put on the lintel and the doorposts, and the angel of death would pass over. Because they believed the promise of God, the word of God, they could know the safety of God in a place of refuge, underneath the shelter of the shed blood of the Lamb. The innocent sacrifice could avert the judgment of God on sin. They could know a place of refuge from death and from the judgment of God. In the Old Testament, you have a provision also for people when there was maybe an accidental death. And somebody who'd maybe been there, and somebody who died accidentally, not deliberately, well, the family would want vengeance or revenge. They could run to where? A city of refuge. And there were certain places designated as cities of refuge, and they could run there and find shelter from the revenge and the judgment of people amongst whom they lived. But here this psalmist is saying that God is our refuge. It's interesting to see what sort of context this psalm was written in. Many people think it was written either by Hezekiah or at the time of King Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a good king and saw many people turn back to the Lord. They reinstated the institution of the Passover and many other things. And things seemed to be going well. But the northern kingdom of Israel had been taken over by the Assyrians. And then Sennacherib came and surrounded the city of Jerusalem. Besieged it. And where were they to turn? What were they to do? Well, God is our refuge. He is our strength. And what did the people do? Well, God wrought a great deliverance. 185,000 enemy soldiers who'd been surrounding the city, fierce, gruesome warriors, and they were found to have died the next morning. The city was saved. God had stepped in. The city, the refuge, is a place of safety. But for those outside of the refuge, well, it's not a good ending. But God is our refuge, and He is our strength. It's not just a place of refuge, but it's a place where we can find strength. How do we see that? Well, if you've ever seen a child and they have a hurt, they've fallen over or whatever it would be, what do? Run to, well, it's usually mummy, isn't it? but a parent, and you know, takes them in their arms and gives them a hug and it's okay. They find a place of comfort, of security, of strength, and it's in that person who's there, who's stronger than them, who's in control. And you see, we can find in our God not just a place of refuge, but a place of strength. We can find the strength of the Lord to help us. We can picture Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying. And he was strengthened to go through the ordeal that he was going to face for our sin. Do you remember King David? Before he was, while Saul was still around, he lived in the city of Ziklag. And he and his soldiers had gone away, and then they came back to find that the Amalekites had come and destroyed the city and taken their wives and children captive. And his men were not very pleased with him. And where was he to turn? What do we read in 1 Samuel 30? David strengthened himself in the Lord. And we can find strength in our God, because he is all powerful, he is all knowing, he is all present. Philippians 4 verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Somebody put a paraphrase to that, which was, through his divine power, I am able to cope with any situation. Well, you might say, well, what could go wrong? Or what else could go wrong? You read down in this psalm, even if the earth sort of seems to be destroyed and be melted, God still is. He still is God. He still is there. He still is that refuge and that strength. He's also an ever-present help in trouble. We're all present here this morning, aren't we? But we wouldn't say you're very present, would we? Well, maybe we would, but it's not a phrase we'd usually use. Maybe you know people who sometimes through what they're going through, maybe their minds are miles away. I remember sitting at the dinner table and being asked, are you with us? I was thinking about other things, you know, but I was present, but I wasn't very present. And maybe you find that too. Your mind can be on 101 other things or something else, somewhere else. But God is a very present help to everyone who knows and loves him, who follows him, who knows him. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. Jesus promised his followers, I am with you always. An ever-present help, no matter time, place, situation, God is there. He's promised to never leave us nor forsake us. He is an ever-present help in trouble. And there are plenty of troubles, aren't there? You listen to the news and hear of wars, of earthquakes, of devastation, of loss of life. We hear of diseases, we hear of economic woes, and that's just out there. But then we have personal trouble too, in our own lives, our own concerns, our own health issues, our own family, friends, and situations that we're facing or struggling with. There's plenty of trouble all around. Maybe we find ourselves in trouble, but God is an ever-present help in trouble. The conclusion of this then, of knowing God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble, is therefore we will not fear. That's easier said than done, isn't it? Maybe there are things that make you afraid. Last week we had some people around at our house, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but a big spider came across the floor. Well, Levi doesn't like spiders, so it appeared. He wasn't afraid to show it either. He was afraid, screamed out. But maybe there are things that make us afraid. But therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way. If the whole earth is destroyed, well, we will not be afraid. This seems to make no sense, but when we consider who our God is, then we can trust him no matter what. Even at the end of this, in verse 6 of this psalm, it says, he lifts his voice and the earth melts. When we read Genesis, we read that God said, God spoke, and the world came into existence. But then at his voice, the earth could just disappear. But this is who God is. His eternal power, his eternal ability, knowledge, strength, might. He is God, and we are but dust. When we consider who God is, therefore we will not fear. We either trust God. Trust and fear seem to cancel each other out, don't they? If we trust God 100%, well then we shouldn't be afraid. But it can be challenging, can't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He talks about the mountains, and though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, things are being shaken in the world around, and maybe in an individual's life too, in situation. But God is there, and we can trust him. Selah, it's usually thought to be just a phrase that means pause or stop, or maybe reflect on what's gone before. And sometimes we can be so busy, can't we, to actually pause and reflect. Yes, there are other things in turmoil, maybe in our own minds or outside, but God is there. He's our refuge and He is our strength. He is the ever-present help. So God is our refuge. But then in verse 4, it says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. A river. Well, Jerusalem doesn't naturally have a river, but King Hezekiah, who we mentioned before, actually had a tunnel built to bring water from the springs of Gihon into the pool of Siloam, into the city. And they had to tunnel through solid rock to get it there. In fact, I think they started at both ends and then met in the middle. And this is, what, about 700 years BC? And so they met. In fact, I've never seen it, but apparently there's a slight kink in the middle where they met, but they managed to meet. And it meant that now there was a provision of fresh water within the city of God, within Jerusalem. It apparently can't be described as a river because it's only small, but they still had a provision of water in the city. And in those days when a city was besieged, well, without water they wouldn't survive more than a short while. But with fresh water, well, they could survive a lot longer. And so here we see a picture of the provision of God for what we need, even when, as it were, besieged, that we have all that we need in God Himself. Jesus spoke about the rivers of water that would flow from somebody, being a picture of the Holy Spirit and the purity of God flowing out, life-giving to people. But the city of God here, yes, Jerusalem, but wasn't it Abraham that looked for a city whose builder and maker is God? John saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, from God. There is a city, but there is a river to provide life. Life eternal, everything that we need. It makes glad the city of God, God's city. It's the holy place and where the Most High dwells. Even more maybe significant than the river is that God is there. God is in the midst of this city, verse 5. The Most High dwells there, but we can dwell in the city of God. Yes, we're here in this world, but we look for that city. We look for that future. Jesus said in John 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. That perfect, pure place that is unassailable, that is enduring, that is eternal. The things of this world don't last very long, do they? Clothes wear out, cars break down, houses need repairs. Even buildings that have maybe been there for hundreds of years, well, they won't last forever. But God's city will last forever. God is there. She will not fail. Verse 5 reflects back on God's present help in that God will help her at break of day. When's the darkest time of night? It's apparently about the hour before dawn, isn't it? I don't know if that's true. I've heard it said, but it's dark. But there's a break of day. The sunrise is coming. It's the start of something new. God will help her just at the right moment, at the right point. Verse 6 tells us that nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall, but he lifts his voice and the earth melts. People can look for ways out of situations and in their wisdom try to manufacture peace or provision for people. They can try and do all sorts of things. And people can try to work against God. But to fight against God will never succeed. Because he is God. And there is God's way, or there's another way. And all God has to do is speak. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. And then verse 8 tells us, come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Well, Maybe we do want world peace. And one day it will happen when the Lord himself returns and he will establish and rule and reign in righteousness and peace. He has the power and the ability to do it, and all he has to do is speak. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. They're lovely little words, aren't they? Be still. So many times we might be torn apart by worry or anxiety, thinking of things this way and that way and the other way, and maybe situations we're facing. And we feel in turmoil, maybe we don't know what to do or how to keep on going in certain areas or ways. But just to be still. Some people object to the existence of God or do not claim to believe in God. But this psalm quite simply takes God's existence as a given. Starts off, God is. Maybe people can say they don't believe in him. And while nature is in turmoil and raging, while even nations are raging against God, all God has to do is step in. And that's the change you see here in verse 10. Up until verse 10, it's the psalmist speaking. But then in verse 10, it's a different voice. Yes, this is God's word, and he's inspired people to write his word. But in verse 10, it's the very words of God. It's as if amidst all this turmoil and all this trouble of the sea, of mountains, of people, of nations, and everything going wrong, as it were, then all of a sudden God just breaks in. God appears on the scene himself. And he says, be still. People might think, well, we still don't believe in God. How could this be? Well, let's look at an incident that happened in the life of Jesus. Mark chapter 4, and other Gospels too. The disciples were in a boat, a little fishing boat, on the Sea of Galilee. The wind has got up, it's howling. The waves are raging, they're coming into the boat. The disciples, seven of whom were fishermen and used to the sea and used to the water, were terrified, they were frightened. Outside, the wind and the waves are tossing about. And the disciples themselves are not just frightened, they're terrified for their lives. They think their end has come. What do they realize? Jesus is there in the boat with them. But he's sleeping. How can he be sleeping when there's such a storm going on? When they're in such danger? They wake him up. And what does Jesus say? Mark 4. He stands up and says, peace. And then the two words that are in this psalm, be still. And at once, the wind stops, the waves stop, and the disciples, well, they stop too. They're stunned into silence and just amazement. God is there. God appeared on the scene. He's right there. And at his very words, everything stops. God is, whether people believe it or not. We can look to the life of Jesus and see that God is here. God is Emmanuel, God is with us. And that's the theme of this psalm, that God is here, God is with us. God is our refuge, he's our strength, he's very present, a very present help in trouble. But he says, be still and know that I am God. Be still in the midst of our strife, our trouble, our trials, but then we can know that he is God. And we realize how maybe small and insignificant and weak we are, but God himself is God, and we can trust him. And so, like the disciples there, they went to Jesus as a refuge. Do you not care that we're going to drown? But at the voice of God, He was there in their midst, and it all was calm. Notice the last part of this verse. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. No longer will God's name be downtrodden. No longer will talk of him be dismissed or his name used derogatorily. But he'll be honoured, he will be exalted. Philippians 2 verse 10 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There is a day coming when the Lord will return, where peace will be established, where he'll set up his eternal kingdom, his eternal home. He's promised it, and he is able to do it. So therefore we can be still, no matter what's going on, and know that he is God, and that one day he will be exalted. But he invites us to exalt him, and to praise him in the here and now, knowing thankfully all that he did for his people in the past. But as he did in the past, he is in the present, because he's an ever-present, even today, help in trouble. And that we can know him in the future too, as he tells us what will happen, and we can trust him. Verse 11 says, the Lord Almighty is with us, or the Lord of hosts, the Lord of many, the Lord of all the spiritual beings as well. But then it says, the God of Jacob is our fortress, Selah. And you may notice that it's a repeat of verse 7. So verse 7 and verse 11 are the same. The word fortress there means a high place. It's actually a different word than the refuge in the beginning, but it has a similar picture. But so high, it's impregnable. It's eternal, it's secure, it's there. But the Lord Almighty. But then he's not just the God of hosts. You can see he's the God of the individual. And an interesting name he chooses, isn't it? Jacob. Why choose Jacob? I mean, of all the people that you could choose. But then why choose you? Or why choose me? I think we can see here a call of God really to repentance, to change. The sons of Korah, well, Korah, as I think has been mentioned before, thought to be a cousin of Moses, in fact, but didn't like the fact that Moses was the leader and rebelled against Moses. But not just Moses, he was really rebelling against the Lord. And remember the judgment of God on Korah and those that were with him? The earth opened and swallowed them up. But notice the sons of Korah. We can see the grace of God, that there were people who changed from their rebellion. And because of his love and his mercy, his grace, here they are, singing God's praises in the temple. And we can see Jacob, that scheming, slimy character, as it were, who fought for his own way, but God met him. He wrestled with God. I think it seems to be a picture of really that he wrestled against God, but that God touched him and God changed him. Maybe today that's what we need to hear, that we've been struggling and fighting against God, but it won't work, and we can repent, we can turn from it in recognition of who God is, eternal, almighty, all powerful, all-knowing, and the one who's ever-present in the past, the present, and the future. And we can come to him and find in him a refuge from our sin, because in Christ we can find that forgiveness, that our sins are taken away. We can find that we're clothed in the righteousness of God, a refuge from the judgment of God, and that we are his child, and we can now know his love, his presence, his help, his peace in the midst of trial and difficulty that we face or that the world faces, because God is God. He is always there, and he's told us what he's like. He's told us what we're like, and that we need him, and he's told us the future. So I hope we'll find today that God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble, that we might have a picture of the river, the provision of God, of life, of security, because God is there and we can be there with him. We can see his rule, that the wars will cease, but one day there will be that eternal kingdom, heaven, with no sin, no suffering, no pain, no sickness, forever and ever, and God is there. He invites us to come to him, to find our rest in him, our refuge in him. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. John Wesley, on his deathbed, apparently said, "The best of all is that God is with us." And we can know that today, and we can know it forever. Because God is eternal, and linked to him, we too can live forever, enjoying the peace and the provision that he has made for his people. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. I thought perhaps we would sing in closing this morning, 421, and it says, "Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace." It invites us in the struggles to trust in God.